The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Praise God for the blowing of the shofar. And it's good to be with you today, everyone. We are Dave and Grace Ziegler. Thank you for all of your faithful blessings that you come in with as we enter the house of the Lord today. Thank you. Again, it's good to be here with you today. We just want to give praise to God for all of His goodness. Amen. He's good to each one of us in so many special ways. Testimonies, prayers, songs, they're all involved with what we do throughout our lives. And we're so thankful that we can stand with you as we all are the saints of the Lord and just keep proclaiming it until that day comes when we go. Amen. We're going to sing it, and we're going to praise it, and we're going to proclaim it from here out. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's go ahead and lift up His name and pray before we worship. Lord, we're grateful today. We come here as saints. Lord, we're no longer classified as the scum of the earth. We're no longer classified as those that are not able to carry your name. We do carry your name. We thank you, dear God, that we can be in that position. What an amazing place to be is in the position to receive from you and to give out like a funnel. So, Father, we're your funnels today. We take in a whole lot and then we give out as well. Touch our hearts and our lives today. Thank you, Father, for those that you've placed over us in authority. For Pastor Morris and Pat as their away today, we say in Jesus' name, touch this New Beginnings place and our hearts today. Be glorified as we lift up your name in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. 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 All right. Brother Rob. Yeah.
Watching while That's about as gospel as I could get it.
Amen.
Fear not.
Oh, praise God. Oh yeah, we're gonna give you praise this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Yes, we do. We praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we sing Adonai. Thank you. sing about it, Lord. Thank you. us, thank God. Yes, we worship the Lord. Continue and thank you.
Thank you.
You know my name.
Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised this morning. We're so glad that everyone's come today and that we can praise his name and give him the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We just give you praise this morning, Father. We don't want to busy anything, Lord. We just want to say thank you, Father. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for the healing that comes, for the strength that comes, for the power that comes, Lord, in your name. We worship you this morning, dear Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Each of us, he knew we were, when we were born and how we were born. These days, many people are confused about who they are. But when we come into alignment with him, he tells us who we really are, because he knows us. And he knows us intimately. And he still chooses to love us. When we're sinful and when we are righteous, he loves us no matter what. Thank you, Father, for being so faithful to us and sending Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated, and I just would like to say thank you for welcoming David Ziegler, who stands before you here, and his wife Grace this morning. It's a blessing to always be with everyone and to see your smiling faces. You know, it's wonderful to stand before a crowd with smiling faces looking back at you, not frowns, or people that sit way in the back, like all the way back And I'm not picking on anybody today at all, but I'm just saying we've been in experiences where folks have literally sat on the back and said, no, we're just here to observe you and to judge you. And it's like, well, maybe I need to go sit down. But not in this house. This is a house of love, and thank you for your welcome. Thank you for all that you're doing. As you know, your pastors are away visiting family today, having a little vacation time, and we're thankful for Pastor Morris and Sister Pat. Grace and I are here today, and thank you guys again for your gift of worship. It's always amazing, and I know that God gets the glory, but he has to use somebody. And we thank you. Amen. Yes, give him a hand. Grace and I come to you today as we prepare to go to Uganda, and Grace will have some things to say after I speak and share the word with you today. But I'd like to start with something that I never planned to start with. You know, sometimes we're here and spontaneously the Lord will speak to us. And we'll give a testimony or a story, or even with what you said today, Miss Janine. He knows our name. And I just want to say that there was a lady named Alice Stewart who was a missionary. And in 1926, she left the shores of New York. And at that time in the U.S., New York proved that America was arising to great occasion. There were skyscrapers being built. A revolution, an industrial revolution had occurred. And revival had taken place earlier in the 19th, the century there, around 1905, 1907, 19, all these revivals were taking place, not only in America, but in other parts of the world. And that revival had caught fire in people's lives. And one that it caught fire was a lady named Alice Stewart. And so in 1926, after a year of Bible college at Beulah Heights Bible School in New Jersey, she leaves and goes to the call, answers the call and goes to China, North China, to be a missionary in her denomination, which was the Assemblies of God denomination. She and another lady to go visit someone that had pioneered, another lady that had pioneered a work and had started the gospel in North China. Ladies that were not really able to speak in a church. Tradition said ladies couldn't speak in the church, and these ladies said, I don't care what tradition says, I'm going because the Lord told me to go. And even when they got to China, they laid the foundation of the Church of Jesus Christ in northern China. And they raised up pastors that were men that would be pastors so that they could be, if you will, legitimized in ministry because they were women. Isn't it amazing, though, how God will take anyone, no matter what anybody says, and legitimize them because they've come to Jesus Christ? And so Alice went and was there early in the 20s and in the 30s. And then the communists came and took over China. And she, for a time, left. Because the Chinese came in to where she was ministering and said, you have to go. And on the day of Pearl Harbor, when Pearl Harbor was attacked in 1941, was the day she was captured and told, you have to leave. And so she and the other missionaries left and went away for a while. But the mission still burned in her heart. And she did some traveling. And she went to Jamaica with her brother and did some missions work in Jamaica. And then when the time was right, she went back to China in 1947. And for 2 years, had a time of great suffering with the church. And persecution was great. And people said, why do you go back to that place? She said, because of the call of God on my life. And so she went back and suffered for 2 years, then left again. And from that point, went to Taiwan and did the rest of her missions in Taiwan, where it was free, where the communists had not yet overtaken. And she spent more years actually in Taiwan than she did in China. And she finished out her days when the Assemblies of God said, you're too old, you can't stay on the mission field. She said, I'm requesting to stay whether you like it or not. God told me to stay and I'm going to stay, and she did. And she lived out the rest of her days there. And then when she became somewhere in her early 70s, she finally came back to the U.S. and settled in Marathon, Florida, in the Keys of Florida, down there at the bottom. And she attended a church there, an Assemblies of God church, where she was known at that little church and then became known in the Florida Keys as the old lady that went to China to be a missionary. Why do I bring that story to you today? It's because Grace and I recently met up with a missionary, a young lady that had been to that same area and had come back with the story of how this young lady had gone to North China and had gone into some areas where there was once an orphanage and there was once a church built and a Bible school, and met up with an old lady, an old Chinese lady, who was an orphan at that time. And she remembers, as she told our dear missionary friend, that there was a group of ladies from America that came to China, and I was one of those orphans, and now I'm here and I'm old, very old, but I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And it is so amazing to see the call of God on somebody's life and the destiny in missions. Our dear Aunt Alice, I call her Aunt Alice because she was my mother's aunt, went and did this call on her life. And as a child, I remember Aunt Alice coming and visiting us on one of her furloughs, and she gave me a tie pin, a little tie pin that I still have from Taiwan. And so I say today, thank you, Aunt Alice, and thank you to all the missionaries that have left these shores to go and do work in other parts of the world. And I also say thank you to the missionaries that came here to the U.S. to do the amazing work that they've done. It's amazing to look back and see all the amazing things God does through people's lives. Amen?
Amen.
So I looked up some of this information about my grand Aunt Alice at the Flowers Pentecostal Heritage Center, which is in Missouri, and I learned about the history of what she had done and the newsletters that she sent back to the U.S. while she was there, and the miracles in the letters of people coming to Jesus. And you know, things really haven't changed much since then. There was one newsletter that she wrote about somebody that had been on drugs and how heroin destroyed their life, and how they came to Jesus and gave up that life, and how people that were horribly treated because of the communists forgave and came to Jesus Christ. Three ladies starting churches, orphanages, and Bible schools that weren't supposed to be there went and did what they were supposed to do because God sent them there. And tremendous changes came about. The other day I was watching the news and I saw how Taiwan, and I thought of her, how Taiwan still is a free country, but we see what China's trying to do. And I thought to myself, she went there and she established a church right there in Taipei. At that time, Taiwan was called Formosa. The name of the country was Formosa. But they started a church right in the very middle, the capital city of Taipei, Taiwan. ladies with a call of God on their lives that said, I'm going to do what God said. And tremendous things, like I said, have come about since. God's got his hand on that country of Taiwan because people went and said, I'm going to give of my time and I'm going to do what the Lord would have me to do and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Tremendous things are happening. Let me turn this one on and continue here. If you will, I'm going to talk a little bit now about what God would have me to say today. Can you hear me out there? Okay. Luke chapter 3 is where I'll be speaking from today. If you've got your Bible, but everything's going to be on the screen up here. And we're talking about John the Baptist. How many of you know about John the Baptist? And how he was the forerunner for Jesus. He was what? The cousin of Jesus. He was Jesus' cousin. But he was sent as a prophet that the Jewish people respected, even though they didn't like him, as one crying in the wilderness. And he was prophesied about in the book of Isaiah. So we see him here in the River Jordan, baptizing people, if we look at Luke chapter 3. And I titled this message, What Shall We Do? What shall we do? A little bit of background. There were a lot of Roman rules taking place right in this place of Israel at this time. Rome, what, had overtaken the whole world. And Israel was part of who they took. And wouldn't you know, there were 400 years between the Old and New Testament, and God had not yet spoken through prophets for 400 years until John comes on the scene. And now, the baptism of people being dunked underwater is taking place through a man named John. And he is testifying and talking about what it means to follow God, because everything has now changed. And in Luke 3:3-6, this is what it says, speaking of John the Baptist. And he came into all the district around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Do we preach a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins anymore? We need to preach a baptism of forgiveness. A baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. We need to do it. We need to do it because there's power in the gospel. Continuing on, it says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Isaiah knew that there would come a man sometime at some point, and he would be one that would cry in the wilderness, and this was John the Baptist. And the message that John the Baptist says this, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every ravine shall be filled up, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall become straight. What was that all about? It was the message of John the Baptist. It was a message that he was saying, get ready. God is going to change things up. There is going to be mountains that go low. There's going to be crooked ways that go straight because God is getting ready to do something mighty. And he's going to use Jewish people. But he's going to use Jewish people to touch the whole world. And the last verse says this, and the rough roads made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. What did that mean? That meant that not only were the Jews to represent God in the earth now, but all peoples had a chance to receive the Lord and to see the salvation of God. It was no longer confined to one group of people. That was the new message. That was how radical things were going to be. And thank God for that radical change that John the Baptist spoke of. Amen. All people, not just the Jews, were about to see the salvation of God. And here we are, all these years later, because God used a certain people group and said, things are changing, folks. The whole world's going to hear about it. Everybody's going to have a chance now. Let's keep reading here. Luke 3:7 through 9. He therefore began saying to the multitudes, okay, who were going out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance. John was saying to the multitudes, who were mainly the Jewish people, scribes, Pharisees, what have you, that were coming out. They knew he was a prophet, and they knew that they were going out to be baptized. They were, a lot of these people were trying to fulfill some type of tradition by being baptized. But he knew that they were coming out there, and what did he do? He knew their hearts. So John the Baptist called him a brood of vipers. Jesus later on called him snakes as well. He knew that they were coming out to fulfill some type of tradition, but he said, let's see if you really want to repent, because if you do, you'll show some fruit. And in this case, he says, therefore, bring forth fruits in keeping with repentance. Let's see what you're going to do as a result if you truly repent. And then he goes on to say, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. You can't use that anymore, he said. You can't use tradition anymore. Something's getting ready to change, and I'm the one that's proclaiming the Christ that is to come, but it isn't going to be like it was for these past hundreds of years and thousands of years. God's got something new that he's about to do. Don't say that Abraham's your father, for I say to you that God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. God can take simple stones and raise those up to Abraham. And also, he says, the axe is already laid to the root of the trees. What does that mean? The axe has already been laid to the root. Jesus was born. The one that really gets to the root of the matter is Jesus, and he had been born. And it says here, every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Did that mean that Jesus was going to cut people down and throw them in the fire? No, it meant that Jesus had laid and was about to show the world that righteousness doesn't come by tradition. And it doesn't come by heritage, it comes through repentance. And that's what John was all about. Preaching repentance, saying, hey, this is the way it is. All you people of royalty thinking you're something? God looks down and says, oh, I'm despising you. What you're doing isn't right. You say one thing, but you live another way. You're hypocrites. And that's what John was saying to the people, to the multitudes. And he was getting through to the multitudes. And how do you know he was getting through to the multitudes? By this one statement, what shall we do? John preached repentance. Tradition and Judaism was no longer going to be an excuse for right standing with God. He preached repentance. Amen. The multitudes, what shall we do? Those were the four words that were said that John knew that he was getting through to the people. I have spoken before in places where people said, what shall we do? And I knew that I was hitting home, because if somebody, while you're preaching or explaining the gospel, says, what shall we do? That means you're getting through. That means that their heart's been touched. And John was touching hearts of people that he didn't like, but yet he said, I got to do this. He was kind of like a Jonah. He really was. Jonah didn't want to go and preach and say to the people, hey, God's given you a chance, but he did it anyway, and people came to God. And the same with John the Baptist. He said, these people are crazy and wicked, but I still have to do what I have to do. Now show me some fruit, is what he said. And the multitudes in verse 10 were saying and questioning, what shall we do? John's answer is found in verse 11, and he says, and he would answer and say to them, let the man who has two tunics give him who has none, and let him who has food do likewise. So John's answer was, give to the poor. The Jewish people despised the poor. They didn't really care for the poor. But he was saying, give to the poor. What do you mean, give to the poor? He was saying, do what the scriptures say to do. If your heart really changes, the fruit is going to be that you give. And specifically, that you give to the poor. Amazing when people will say, what should we do? What shall we do? John said, this is what you do. Then, verse 12, some tax gatherers came to be baptized, and they said to him, teacher, what shall we do? So first you have the multitudes, and then you have the tax gatherers. They were despised as well. The tax gatherers in Jerusalem and in areas of Israel were dominated by the Roman Empire, and so they had to tax people. So the Jewish people were taxed by their own Jewish tax gatherers, and they brought these funds to Rome. But we do know that the tax gatherers would actually gather more and cheat the people than what was required of them. So when the tax gatherers came to John to be baptized, they said, well, what shall we do? And he says to the tax gatherers, gather basically with integrity. Verse 13, and he said to them, collect no more than what you have been ordered to. Gather with integrity. Live a life of integrity. The fruit will show if you really have repented. Amen? It will really show if you repented. That was John's answer. All right, a third group came out. Luke 3:14. And some soldiers were questioning him. And by the way, these soldiers were probably recruits that came as Jewish people. They probably weren't Roman soldiers. They were probably Jewish recruits. That's not 100%, but I'm just saying most Roman soldiers that were of Rome could have cared less what was going out with John's ministry. So some of these were probably Jewish people. So some soldiers came and said, and what about us? What shall we do? And he said to them, do not take any money from anyone by force or accuse anyone falsely, and be content with your wages. Content with your wages. Wow. The soldiers said them, what shall we do? And he answered them with those words, to be content. Don't abuse your authority, but be content. These are the three things that John came up against. He came up against the multitudes. And when they said, what shall we do because of a message of the gospel? A message of repentance. He said, give to the poor. Then he said to the tax gatherers, gather with integrity. Do what you're supposed to do. He said to the soldiers who were men of authority, don't abuse your place of authority, but to be content. These messages are for us today. But mainly, the main thing that I'm saying today is this. He's given us authority. He's given us the ability to give. He's given us the ability to gather all these things. And we must do these what? With authority, with integrity, with love, and all the things that Jesus taught us to do. And I'd just like to say today that as John preached, he didn't hold back. He spoke with conviction. He spoke about repentance. And he said, come get water baptized. Let me dunk you. But your heart has to be changed to see if the fruit really is there. Nothing's really new today, is it? God's working on our hearts, and he continues to work on our hearts, and he continues to show us the way. And when we say, I'm going to obey him, here come those fruits. Amen. When we say, Lord, use me. Use me. Use me in all these areas. Amen. You know, sometimes when Grace and I go to Uganda, we have messages prepared that we take with us. And then sometimes we have to speak spontaneously as to what the Lord's saying at that given moment, which really is exciting. It really is. To be able to stand before a group of people and the Holy Spirit says, okay, now I want you to say this. And it's like, okay, who is this for? And he says, well, it's for the group you're about to speak to. And we're like, yes, Lord, we'll do it. Sometimes it's words that of correction. And we're like, correcting people? Really? These people don't even know who we are. And here we are about to correct a group of people. Sometimes he says, okay, now I want you to love on this group. I don't want you to scorn these. I want you to hurt these. I want you to love on these. And sometimes you just don't know what he's going to say to do. But we try to keep that listening ear going so that when he says do this, we obey. But one thing we always want to do is to operate and give. And we always want to do it with integrity. And we don't want to abuse our authority that God's given to us. We want to do these things the way Jesus did it. And John the Baptist and Jesus were cousins. John the Baptist was a man of, this is the way it is. And Jesus was too. But what Jesus had, different from his cousin, was that he had the Holy Spirit inside of him in such a way that love came out at all times. John had a message, and he was bold. His cousin Jesus had a message and was bold as well. But he was the Messiah. John showed honor to his cousin Jesus, who was the Messiah. And he stepped out of the way when it was time to step out of the way. And then he was imprisoned and taken away. And well, we know what happened to John the Baptist. He didn't live because he spoke the truth. And those that were in authority couldn't stand his truth, so they took him out. And then came Jesus' time to stand for the truth. And he stood and he stood and he stood and it took to him to have to go to the authority, who was Pilate at that time, a governor who was given authority from the emperor way up top. And Jesus spoke the truth, and his life had to be taken. Wherever we go, we speak truth. And in the days in which we're living these right now, we've got to speak the truth. We do it in love, but yet we still speak the truth, and we stand with the responsibility of speaking the truth. Many people these days, because they're not willing to repent, don't know the truth. And I say this with respect, but the less truth we have, the dumber we get. And we do more dumb things. And it's a shame because now we are seeing things in our culture that 40 years ago we looked at and said, that'll never happen in America. And it's happened. And it's happened even worse than what our thought processes were. So we're seeing a spirit of dumbness fulfill the land. But we don't have to be dumbed down ourselves. We take the Word of God, we study the Word of God, and we pray. And we say, Lord, instruct me so that I don't go the way of being dumb. And I say that not as a derogatory way, but as a way of truly looking at things. We're seeing human beings do things that even animals wouldn't do. And it's dumb. It's a dumb thing. It's almost like you're dumbed down because of rebellion, raising a fist to God and saying, we're not going to do it your way. In fact, we're going the opposite of your way. There's a book written just as of recent, and it's called The Return of the Gods. Yes. Many of you may have heard of such a book. Yes. Grace and I were discussing this the other day by a man named Jonathan Kahn. And this book, even though we've not read it, we've seen a preview, truly is describing us as a culture. People don't think that gods can come in any form or what fashion, but they are coming, and they have come in the form of the demonic. And when a culture is overtaken and is godless, as far as Jesus is concerned, and being born again, a whole culture can be overtaken. And then they begin to do things that we look back in the Old Testament and go, I can't believe they bowed down to that like God that was a tree or that structure that was set up. And we look at that and we go, I can't believe the dumbness of people to do that. But now we're doing some of those same things. We may not be bowing down to some tree or something lifted up, but we're even going further. And so the truth is what needs to be spoken boldly, the way John the Baptist did it, to such a degree that people say, what must we do? What should we do, Dave? If you're speaking with conviction, what should we do? Because I really believe that if we speak with conviction, if we witness with conviction, then people are going to say, well, then what do we do? And all I have to say today is be ready. As you're convicted with the Holy Spirit, and as you speak Jesus to others, wherever it may be, and as you do it with conviction, with love motivating you, but yet saying, you're wrong. I love you, but you're wrong. And you're living a foolish lifestyle. There's an answer for that. And hopefully we'll hear folks say, well, then what shall we do? It's coming. The askers are coming. We just have to be ready and willing and able to say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. And that is the way of salvation. When we become born again, isn't it an amazing experience? We need to preach this message. And we need to just keep reminding folks through the power of the Holy Spirit that works within us that the answer is Jesus. And do it boldly, right? John the Baptist was a bold man. I'm just using him today because he was just so bold and willing to do what God called him to do. And he had people that hated him, asking him, what shall we do? They despised him. He wore camel hair, ate honey and locusts, went out there a rough guy, all male, nothing other than saying, this is the way, do it the way I'm telling you. And if people would have listened, then they'd have had a chance to see the Messiah and be a part. And they did. There were some willing hearts. Let's do it God's way, amen? Amen. Let's continue to do things God's way. I'm just to encourage you. I'm here to encourage you today. I came by to encourage you today. Grace and I are getting ready to leave our wonderful country and go to another country where we love, where we go and we worship and we have a great time. And when we're done our trip, we feel like virtue has come out of us because we're worn out, but yet it's all worth it. And we're getting ready to gear up and do it again. And we just want to thank you for all that you do for us and the way that you pray and you help us to go. And we're looking to take more ground this year. More ground. And to encourage pastors to do the work so that they can take more ground. And we're going to lay hands on some pastors and we're going to see some things change in their lives. And we're going to see them leave their country and go do some amazing things as well. Thank you for what you're helping us to do. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Before Grace comes up, let me just pray a word over us today. Lord, we thank you for the words that were spoken of through John the Baptist. He was fulfilling the commission that you gave him. Father, we know that because you know our name, anything is possible. When we say yes to you, when we obey your word, things change. Things change. Thank you for knowing our name. And thank you, God, for hearts that are going to come that say, so what shall we do? Father, may we be ready. May we be willing. May we see that person, those people coming and be ready to give out the word of promise and direction in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as we're praying, I thank you for healing for our bodies, for our minds and spirits. Healing, dear God, for our loved ones, their minds and spirits. Father, touch us in our neighborhoods, where we live. Touch our neighbors. Help us to be a light wherever we go. And we ask, Lord, that you touch us and use us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Miss Grace, if you'll come.
Good morning. Let's see, am I on? Okay. So good to be here with you this morning, sharing God's word, praising and worshiping together. And we just have a few things we want to share with you. You're our partners in ministry.
Yeah.
And so even though you don't go to Africa with us, you send us, and that's a major part too, right? There's three responses to foreign missions, and that's pray, go, give. And we all can't do all three, but we can do some. And so thank you for the part you play. You pray and you give, and that enables us to go. And so everything we do, you're actually have a hand in and a part in. And we always want to remind you of that. And this morning, I want to actually start off with a scripture. And it's in Isaiah 58. I won't read the whole chapter. It's a great chapter, but I'm going to skip around just a little bit. I love that it starts off and the writer says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what we want to go and do in Uganda. We want to cry aloud and spare not, but lift up our voices and declare Jesus as King and declare the power that he brings into a person's life when they will yield their heart and their life to him. He comes in and he transforms us. He changes us. And that's what we want to go and do. This chapter in Isaiah is about fasting. And it contrasts a normal type of fast where someone's fasting and they're walking around all sad because they're hungry and they're longing to eat again, right?
Yeah.
But he says, no, that's not, that doesn't impress me. God says that, I'm paraphrasing. He says, that does not impress me. That is not the type of fast that I choose. And then he goes on, and I'm going to begin in verse 6 through 9. He says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Why do I share that scripture with you? Because what you are enabling us to do is what I've just read. You're enabling us to go and preach the word. And when the word goes forth and it's received, it falls on good ground. People, the oppressed are going to be set free. Those that are walking in darkness are going to come to the light of Jesus Christ. You help us to share bread with the hungry at the children's home. You give us clothes and shoes and things like that to feed, to clothe the naked. And so these are the things that we go to do in the name of Jesus, and you send us. And I just want to tell you a little bit about what we're going to do this year. I want to thank you because you gave 192 pairs of girls' panties. Thank you so much. We have a lot of girls that are going to have the items they need because we were told that oftentimes the girls have to actually quit high school because they don't have the hygienic products that they need to go to school. So you gave us one part of that, and another church, Grace Memorial Baptist Church, was generous and gave us some pads that girls can use. So we're going in with suitcases packed and ready. We've got three completely packed to the max. I think we brought them to 49 pounds because you got a 50-pound limit, and every time we get there, our scale was a little bit different than theirs. So we've put them at 49. We're hoping we got that 1 pound difference. And we're packing up a fourth one again in the next couple of weeks. So those items will be ready to go. Pastor Mike Larzy of River Life Fellowship in Pearl River is going with us this year. He will be helping us with preaching and teaching, and we're excited about that. We're going to be doing the first week we're going to go in. It's a packed schedule. We'll go into the southern part of Uganda, which is where Love and Care for All Children's Home is located. And we will spend 5 days in that area, and those days with the kids. They're going to welcome us big time, and we always look forward to that. And then we'll give out all of the items. We're going to have a great meal with them, and we'll have some time of ministry with them, ministering to the kids. I know Dave and Brother Mike will be ministering to the teenage boys. And then we'll have gatherings of all of them to minister to them. So we want to thank you for enabling us to do that. Another thing is we'll go in after that, and we'll journey back up to the northeast part where we'll be on the Kenyan border. We haven't been to these villages before, so this is a new work. We have many, many pastors that have already been mobilized into the village. They're already advertising and promoting and getting their people ready. They're getting choirs ready. They're getting workers ready. We will be doing two crusades and two conferences. Both of them will be like 3 days each. So when Dave said, we put out virtue. We're putting it out. The conferences are like 2 and 3 sessions of preaching. And then you get a break, you kind of eat, take a little break. And then at night you go out in where our stage will be ready. And we will do open air crusades at night. And so we're excited about it. The pastors are excited. We had one of the conferences where I think we were planning for, I don't know, we don't know how many people will show up, but we were planning for about 200. And the pastor sent word through Pastor Sam. They said, no, this isn't going to work. You don't know our villagers like we know them. Many more than 200 want to come. You have to increase your budget. And we thought, oh, we got to increase the budget. And I had to laugh because one day we were talking about, could we increase the budget? And then it was like, how many? Well, maybe 500. And we're thinking, oh, I don't know if we can increase the budget and feed 500 people. And then we thought, well, Jesus fed 500 people. He did it then. He can do it again. And so, praise God, we said, okay, we're going to increase. Let's go for it by faith. We're going up there. And we're going to trust God to do everything because that's an increase of all kinds of things. That's an increase of mattresses. Did you know that? Did you know that we have to rent mattresses? Because some of the people travel so far and they have nowhere to stay and they want to be there for more than one day. So you rent mattresses and they put them in their churches on the floor and people just come and sleep on the mattresses. Yeah. So different than the United States, right? It's a little bit different. It's a little bit. All right, so we're going in to do that, and then we're also going to, one of those crusades is going to be on a piece of property that we were able to enable Pastor Sam to purchase a little piece of property. And on that land is where we will hold that crusade, and the new believers that come out of that crusade, he will be able to start another church with. So that'll be the third church plant. And eventually build a little church there, covering. First it'll be a covering, and then eventually a building. Yeah. So we're doing that this year, going in and planting the third Bible Institute. So we have a lot on the agenda. I want to say that we covered your prayers, and I'm going to read what I wrote here so I don't leave any of it out. We covered your prayers for safety and protection from any sickness or disease while we are there. We don't want any sickness or disease to hinder our work. We want to make the most of every day. Please pray for us to minister with boldness and for a fresh anointing so that people can come to Christ. We want to anoint, we want to minister with power and authority. Pray for men, women, boys, and girls to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. Pray for the local pastors to be diligent to disciple the new believers that come out of this work. That is vitally important. If we win converts, but no one is faithful to disciple them, then they're going to go back into the world and they won't experience the freedom and the power that comes from walking with Jesus Christ. Pray for the sick to be healed and those in bondage to be delivered. We want to see lives transformed, which in turn will transform villages by the power of the gospel. And pray the Lord will use us and enable us to preach with clarity and effectiveness. So those are the things we're praying for. And we're looking forward to everything God wants to do. We're excited about it. And we're in what we call full preparation mode, which means every day we are doing things, preparing, whether it's spiritually, getting our messages together, or packing things, or there's just so much business that has to be taken care of. So thank you very much for your attention. Thank you for your generous givings. Thank you for your love and support and your prayers.
And so we are so glad. Know that all the funding and prayers are making these stories take place. We found this out just as of recent as well. We love this story. This is amazing, and I'll be brief. One of the young kids that has grown up at Love and Care for All has moved away and has become an evangelist and has left the mountain, but returned recently to the mountain to gather up a group of kids, about 12. Darren and Fatuma put all of them in the van, including the evangelist, and went to a certain part of Uganda, and they preached the gospel, and people came to Jesus. And it's so amazing how these kids are now leaving as evangelists and are coming back and saying, I want to show you how we do what we do, and taking the other kids and ministering. So, wow, we are seeing results so quickly. It's like God's allowing the fruit to be seen so quickly. So thank you again. And we love Darren and Fatuma. We get so charged up. When you go on that mountain, not only do you feel welcomed, you know that they have been praying. You feel the prayers of the kids and of the workers and the social workers. It's amazing once we get up there. And you don't want to leave when you get there because you feel the love. And then they feed you physically, and you're like, wow, this food is good. That goat over there tasted pretty good, or that chicken over there tasted pretty good. It's been a wonderful time. So again, thank you for everything, and God bless you. Anybody got any questions about anything that you may have concerning?
Okay,
yeah.
So who would you like the check written to?
Well, as for now, it would be to us, Int Out. And if you designate it, INTOUT. That's all it is INTOUT. And what we do is, if you designate it for the school, I mean, for the for Love and Care for All, we will make sure the funds go there. We go every fall, usually October, for about a month, sometimes a month and a half, close to 2 months we'll be there.
Okay.
And so we go every fall. Wonderful. It's amazing. It's amazing to see what they've done here and to see the fruit. So another young man named Asherif was at the Love and Care for All. He became of age at 18 years old and went to Dubai and is now working in Dubai and has never left Uganda until this trip to Dubai. So he is there for, I'm not sure, it might be a year, contract work where he has to stay in Dubai. And we know how advanced that country is. It's very advanced. And so now he's gone from, I guess you could say, rags to riches. And now he's experiencing a lifestyle there. But we talk to him, and he sends us messages where he talks into the phone because it's late at night or something, and he wants to be cordial to us and doesn't wake us up. And he'll send a message for about a minute thanking us for what we've done. And it's like, oh my God, thank you for that kid's message. He's 18 years old. You see the love of God all over this young man, and he's doing something very creative with his life, and it's just amazing. Oh, you've got it?
You want to part that one here? It's just
42 seconds. Sure, sure. It's, wow. Okay, if y'all want to hear this, this is pretty cool. This is Ashraf's greeting to us as of recent.
Hello, praise God, Mom. How are you there? Long time, long time. I hope everything's okay. Thank you for the care. Thank you for everything. So I just pray for you. May God bless you in each and everything. May God continue using you. May God continue blessing you in each and everything, in each and every planning for other people. I know you're doing great much work for us. So we love you and we pray for you. I'm proud. I'm proud of you guys. So I love you so much, Mom and Dad.
So there's an example of one of our sweet kids that we get to watch grow and see and make a life because of all of what folks do for these kids. Yes, Miss. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Just general, you know, and that we can use it that way as well. When we get there, we will probably have a little party for the kids where we get them together and roast a couple chickens and have some matoki and some pineapple, and they have some pop, some cold drinks. Actually, they're not cold, but they'll be what we call cold drinks, and have a great time with them and celebrate with them. There'll be several hundreds of them probably, so it'll be a lot of fun. And then we'll minister to them as the Lord sees fit for us to do so. Such fun.
I wanted to tell everybody, if they want to make their checks to New Beginnings Church,
okay,
you can put in that love offering back there. Pastor is going to electronically pay them. So if you want to do it that way, it's up to you. You can do whatever you want.
Okay, either way.
Either way.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Pastor's voice.
Sure.
Yeah, well, this is kind of carnal, but can we get a tax receipt if we make it to him?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We'll send it to you. Grace is a faithful administrator.
I just don't want to give the government anything. But we're not entitled.
Right. And we're thankful for that. We enjoy, believe it or not, we enjoy sending out our letters. Our 501c3 letters, so that everybody gets credit. We want to make sure that while we have this in our country, and that you do get credit for giving. Yes, Miss Erin.
Yeah, so we really need a prayer fast too.
And this was just recent.
Just today.
Oh, wow. Wow.
We were talking about
Taiwan.
Yeah,
tsunami. Wow. We sure do. You know, it's amazing how what I said earlier about Aunt Alice going and doing that work there. She learned Chinese. She went to Berkeley in California to learn Chinese. Amazing. But yes, Taiwan. God's getting ready to do something there. I believe in Taiwan. Yes, Miss Rose.
Say something that I kind of heard something about this on TV, but God has done a lot of big and mighty things, but the word for the future is God is going to do greater mighty things than we have ever seen, thought, or heard of.
Amen.
So be prepared to see God move in mighty big ways that we've never known before.
Hallelujah.
Our heart is seeking that.
Yes.
For America.
For America.
I keep praying a two-word prayer. God, save America. Because I want him to save this land so that all the people here who don't know Christ,
yes,
will get saved here before we worry about what's going to happen all over the rest of the world. So,
amen.
Pray for great, mighty things here in America.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Right. That's right. You're exactly right. And we do see, by the way, the influence of American universities when we travel throughout the world. And I'll just say this, technologically it's okay, but morally it's not good at all. Because we have exported with many of our students, and we see it even in Uganda, the very liberal agenda that they try to bring. And I'll just say this, some of our ministers in Uganda see this liberalism coming their way and say, that's that American stuff and we don't want it. And thank God for discerning, spiritual people that are spiritually discerning. But yes, we've got a lot to pray about, folks, don't we? But God's doing things. He is doing things, and he will turn our country around. I truly believe he will for this last time end harvest of the world. And he's going to use America once again. But we need to come out of our dumb stage. Because because we've gone into dumbness now. Truly, a dumb stage where we need the light of the gospel. And we need shocking. We need shocking. Why do you think John said mountains would go low and crooked paths straight? Because God uses physical terrain and natural disasters to wake us up.
Yes.
But we're too educated to think that that's just happening. No, it's God.
That's right.
It's God. Warning year after year after year after year. Tornado, hurricane, fire, flood after flood, or disaster after disaster. Carjacking after car. What have you to let us know it's time to wake up. Amen. And we can, through our prayers. And what did he say, hon? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and repent and pray and seek my face, that's where it all starts. Let's all stand if we will. Hon, can you come and close us in prayer and remember Taiwan as well?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we are thankful. We are thankful for the life you've given us in Christ.
Yes, we are.
You promised abundant life in Christ, and we experience that.
Hallelujah.
But Father, we come to you with heavy hearts as we look around our nation, as we look around our world, and we know that it is past time for us to repent. Your church has to repent first, Father. We have to repent for the places and the times, the seasons that we have failed you. We have failed to be bold with your word. We have failed to proclaim your whole word, the whole gospel.
That's right. The whole
gospel. Father, because we have failed to do that, we are in this season where darkness has become great upon our land. And so, Father, we repent first.
That's right.
We say, Father, forgive us for the times we should have used our voices and we did not. Forgive us for the sins we commit on a daily basis.
Yes.
Cleanse us from all unrighteousness and raise us back up to walk with robes of righteousness and to have that power and authority to operate in that power and authority that you died to give us. Your word said that you took away the powers of the enemy. You destroyed the power of the enemy at the cross.
Yes.
Let our lives be so lived that it demonstrates that, Father, the power over sin and weakness. And Father, thank you for that newness of life that we can walk in. Enable us, Lord, to be bold in the days of ahead. That when we're given the opportunity to use our voices, we will use them boldly, lovingly. We'll show the love of Jesus, yet draw that line that says we don't go past this line. We're going to do things your way, God.
That's right.
And Father, we ask that you would be with those Taiwan who are in destruction
right now.
That your arm is not short as we ask you to touch those people, Father. Rescue those that are perishing, Father, in this tsunami of destruction upon their land. Father, take over that situation. Watch over them. Send in the helpers.
Yes.
Send in people that are going to help them with food and clothing and resources, water, everything that's necessary in the recovery period. But also, Lord, send in your word. Send in those that are going to share your word, your comfort, your strength in this hour for them. Save the dying, Lord. And Father, thank you for this congregation. We ask that you go forth with these people, with them and their families, that you bring blessings. Father, let healing go forth upon their bodies. Trade their weaknesses for your strength.
Yes,
sickness has to flee in Jesus' name. I speak health.
That's right.
And over you.
Glory to God.
That your bodies will be made whole. That you will restore that which we have lost, Father. As the years have gone by, we need to be restored in our bodies. And refresh their spirit, man. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Sing this with me as we leave. Jesus is the answer for the world today. You're not singing. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Amen. We love you guys. Thank you. Amen.